Welcome to another broadcast of Studying the Scriptures. I'm your host, Dr. Todd Baker, director of Berit Hadashah Ministries in Dallas, Texas, and pastor of Shalom Messianic Congregation. While we continue in our prophetic teaching series, Israel, the Super Sign of the End Times. And last time we examined the biblical meaning for end times and the function of a sign. And we came to the conclusion from that introductory study that God uses Israel as a prophetic sign for showing the world where we are on His plan of the ages for man. And we discovered that the term end times is used to mean three time periods in the Bible. The first was the inter-advent period, covering the entire church age, the rapture, and the second coming of Christ to the earth. The end times can refer to that period. Secondly, it can also refer to that specific period when the Jews are partially regathered to the land of Israel from the second diaspora. And third, the end times in the Bible can also be used to mean the last 7-year period of the present age, called the tribulation period, that will end with the return of Christ and the full regathering of the Jews back to Israel. And so our study of Israel, the super sign of the end times, actually covers all these three periods. The writer Leo Tolstoy, best known for his voluminous War and Peace novel, was a very religious Russian Orthodox Christian. He wrote an article in 1891 entitled, What is a Jew? In it, he said this: the Jew is the emblem of eternity. He who neither slaughter nor torture of thousands of years could destroy. He who neither fire nor sword nor inquisition was able to wipe off the face of the earth. He who was the first to produce the oracles of God. He who has been for so long the guardian of prophecy and has transmitted it to the rest of the world. Such a nation cannot be destroyed. The Jew is as everlasting as eternity itself. And this segues into our continuing study of Israel, the super sign of the end times. The Jewish nation is a sign of God's eternal faithfulness to His promises, His covenants, and to His people. And as a church, as the body of Christ today, beloved, we can glean practical truths from this fact that if God has been faithful to Israel for 4 millennia, in spite of their disobedience and moral failures to keep covenant with Him, He will also be faithful to us, the Church of Jesus Christ, who throughout the centuries has failed Him and failed to live up to the standard of holiness He has set for us. In spite of all that, the covenants that God makes, either with Israel or with the church in the new covenant, He will be faithful to the end. And that is encouraging indeed in a time when everything about us seems to be slipping away and seems to be engulfed in an increasing immoral, darkness. But let's go back to Israel, the super sign of the end times. Really, to understand the prophetic importance of Israel in Scripture, you have to go back to their founding father, their patriarch, the father of the Jewish nation, which is Abraham from Ur of the Chaldees. It all began with Abraham. Preachers and theologians are often fond of saying that history is his story, meaning that God plans and determines the details and events that make up human history, ruling over the process from beginning to end to fulfill His great purpose for mankind. Nothing could be truer of Israel. The history of the Jewish people, as we will find out, is His story, played out within human history, which has been revealed and accurately foretold in the Bible. The history of Israel is supernatural from beginning to end. It began with the patriarch Abraham some 4,000 years ago when God called this nomadic wanderer from Ur of the Chaldees, which is modern-day Iraq today. God called Abraham from there to leave his homeland and go into the land of Canaan. We read this in Genesis 12, 1 through 3. And it says, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And I will bless you, and I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.'" So God was calling Abraham to go into a land that He would give to him and his posterity, with the result that they would be a global blessing to all the nations of the world, the Gentiles. So when you think about it, God chose the Jewish people to bless the Gentile world. That's why it's inexplicable to me that Gentiles, especially those naming the name of Christ and claiming to be Christian, have a problem with the Jewish people. It's an oxymoron, something that cannot be harmonized. And this is particularly and especially true from what we have just learned here in Genesis 12, that God chose Abraham and the Jewish people who were to come from his descendants so that he could bless the Gentile world. Well, we know from reading chapters 12 and on in Genesis that Abraham obeyed that call and became the father of the nation of Israel and the Jewish people. Though Abraham and Sarah, his wife, were well beyond the age of having children, as we learn in Genesis 18:11, God nevertheless miraculously rejuvenated the 90-year-old body of Sarah to bear them a son, Isaac, by whom the Lord would raise up the people, a nation of Israel, through which the Messiah would come. So the birth of the Jewish people came through a miraculous child, the child of Isaac. Sarah was too old to bear. And yet God, through a miracle of quickening, life-giving power, was able to give her the physical ability to have children again. With the promised child of Isaac came the promised land, the land that is called Israel, where Abraham and his descendants would live. We learn in Genesis 13, 15, and Genesis 17, 7 and 8, God promised to give the land to Abraham and his descendants, the Jews, for an everlasting possession, something that would be theirs forever, under the unconditional terms of an everlasting covenant, Berit Olam in the Hebrew. Let us read these two passages. God says to Abraham, "For all the land which you see, I have given it to you and your descendants forever. And I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant, a Berit Olam, to be God to you and to your descendants after you. And I will give to you and to your descendants after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan, for an everlasting possession, three times the word olam, or everlasting, eternal, is used here. God would give Abraham and his descendants the land of Canaan forever. He would do so under the terms of an everlasting covenant, an agreement that would last forever. And the land would be given to them to have and hold as an everlasting possession. They would own it forever. Nothing could be clearer in the scriptures than these things. For here we observe from Israel's inception that the history of the Jewish people and their divine destiny is inextricably bound up with the land God promised them. The covenant referred to in Genesis 17, 7 and 8 is formally called by theologians the Abrahamic Covenant. The Abrahamic Covenant. It is an eternal covenant made between God and Abraham and his descendants forever. God essentially established through this covenant with Abraham a people from him, who would be the Jewish people, a place for them to live, that would be the land of Israel, so that the purpose of blessing all the Gentile nations of the world could occur in perpetuity, that is, forever. Thus we see here God gave the land of Israel to the Jews forever, and to no other ethnic group or nation. Protestations from the Arabs, Palestinians, the UN, and the rest of the international community notwithstanding. One of the basic laws of Bible interpretation to remember, beloved, is the law of first mention. What is that? What is the law of first mention? The law of first mention states that when a thing is mentioned for the first time in the Bible, it carries the same meaning all throughout the scriptures. Let me define the law of first mention again, one of the basic principles of biblical hermeneutics. Hermeneutics meaning the art and science of Bible interpretation. The law of first mention means that when a thing is mentioned for the first time in the Bible, it carries the same meaning all throughout the scriptures. It establishes the Bible as consistent in its meaning from beginning to end as it applies to persons, places, events, and things. And this certainly applies with who God gave the promised land to. In Genesis 13:15, we have the first mention in Scripture stating that God gave the land of Israel to Abraham and the Jewish people forever. It will never be revoked in spite of Israel's repeated moral failures before the Lord. God gave the land to them unconditionally forever. This truth is reiterated throughout the rest of Scripture and therefore establishes the rightful owners of the land to be the Jews, granted by divine right and covenant. There is, one looks throughout the Bible and he will discover and he will find out that there is no deviation or alteration by God from this covenant. It stands for all time. The ongoing struggle for Israel's right to live in the land of promise has already been settled once and for all by the eternal counsel and covenant of God as codified and enacted in the Abrahamic covenant, God's covenant with Abraham that we discover here in Genesis 17:7 and 8. God has spoken on this matter, and His word concerning this is settled forever. Psalm 119, verse 89. So all the political wrangling about who the land belongs to is quite simply moot and in the end irrelevant and inconsequential. The current Middle East crisis centers around who owns the land of Israel and the city of Jerusalem. But unbelief coming from the world disputes and dismisses the whole issue being settled by the inerrant Word of God. However, one cannot begin to understand the current Middle East crisis and end time Bible prophecy and how it relates to Israel's past, present, and future without knowing and understanding the fundamental importance of this divine covenant that God made with Abraham. This reminds me of a cogent observation that author Richard Booker wisely wrote in his book, Blow the Trumpet in Zion. He said, concerning the Abrahamic covenant, "Indeed, the key to understanding today's headlines and tomorrow's news lies in the past within the sacred covenant God made with Abraham." That is so true, beloved. That is so true. In future programs, we will explore how this is true throughout the divine panoramic plan God has for Israel in the past, present, and future, as revealed through Bible prophecy. Part of the reason for the return of Israel's Messiah will be to enforce the everlasting decree of God's land grant to the Jewish people and to overthrow the nations of the world in league with the Antichrist, who will violently attempt to take the land away from the Jewish people. We read of these prophecies in Zechariah chapters 12 through 14, and the boundaries of the land that will exist in the millennial kingdom for Israel in Ezekiel 47, verses 14, I'm sorry, Ezekiel 47, verse 13, all the way through chapter 48, verse 35. We'll look at those later on in this series of teachings. Did you know that the boundaries God gave for the promised land stretch from the river of Egypt, the Wadi al-Arish, to the Euphrates River near the Syrian-Iraqi border? These boundaries that Israel will ultimately occupy in the millennial kingdom of Christ are given in Genesis 15, verses 18 through 21. And when you impose those boundaries on a map of the Middle East today, you will discover that this is an area yet to be fully occupied by the Jewish nation. That well includes the two presently disputed areas of Gaza and the so-called West Bank, which biblically that part of Israel is known as Judea and Samaria. The West Bank is really an unbiblical term that implies that Israel has no right to live there, when in fact they do, because they've lived there for the last 4,000 years, and it's central to the land of Israel, and certainly falls well within the boundaries of the land grant God gave to Abraham and his descendants forever, so they can live there and should live there by divine right. The covenant God made with Abraham not only would produce the Jewish people from his seed, his posterity, with a land to live in, but their presence in the world would greatly benefit and bless mankind. Remember what the Lord said in Genesis 12:3. He said to Abraham, "And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Indeed, the Jews have brought the world immeasurable blessings. They wrote and preserved the Scriptures, which is the number one bestseller in the world. And they were the people through whom the Messiah came to redeem humanity from sin. Romans 3:2 and Romans 9:5. The Jews wrote the Bible, and the Messiah Jesus is a Jew. Christianity came from the Jewish people. It is not a Gentile invention. Other blessings that the Jewish people have gave us reach into the modern world of technology, science, and medicine today. The cell phone was developed in Israel by Israelis working for Motorola. Voicemail technology was developed in Israel by Israelis working for Microsoft and Cisco. Instant Messenger for America Online was developed in 1996 by four young Israelis. Israel has the highest number of scientists and technicians per capita in the workforce. Israel ranks number two in the world with the second highest per capita publishing new books. And this one will really, really interest you. Between 1901 and 2006, there have been 750 Nobel Peace Prize winners. Of the 750 winners, Jews have accounted for 158 of them. Think of that. There are 12 million Jews in the world. 12 million Jews account for 22% of all Nobel Peace Prizes. And so, God indeed has used the Jewish people to be both a spiritual blessing and a blessing in other areas to all of humanity. Well, God reaffirmed His eternal covenant with Abraham to his son Isaac, and Isaac's son Jacob. From these three patriarchs, God then eternally promised the land of Israel to the Jewish people. From a divine and biblical perspective then, the land of Israel belongs to the Jewish people. And so God chose this land and the chosen people to play a central role in His plan of redemption for the world and mankind, which naturally involves the past, present, and the future. The plan of redemption for Israel and the world focuses around two epical events. They would be the first and second comings of the Lord Jesus Christ. In both Advents, Christ has and will personally come again directly to the land of Israel. The covenant God made with Abraham plays a special significance and role in end-time Bible prophecy. The fact God guaranteed the people of Israel a national existence and homeland forever that brought the material and spiritual blessings through Jesus Christ to the Gentile nations basically defines and determines the primary focus of the whole eschatological program of God. That's important to remember. The covenant of Abraham with the provisions of a land, nation, messianic descendant, and blessing to the world is the building base and foundation upon which the plan of God is built and enlarged through the other biblical covenants with Israel. And we will discover that throughout this teaching series. The creation of the Jewish people and the bestowal of a national homeland via the Abrahamic covenant were preparatory for the first coming of the Messiah. God chose Abraham, and through him the chosen people, so that through them the Redeemer could come to the world. In the New Testament, Paul tells us in Galatians chapter 3 that Gentiles who come to faith in Messiah Jesus are then adopted into Abraham's family and receive the blessing promised through that covenant God made with Abraham. And just as the establishment of the Jewish people as the nation of Israel was crucial to the first coming of Christ, so too Scripture indicates that the regathering of the Jews into their ancient homeland will be necessary for the second coming of Christ. In fact, this would serve as a super sign. The regathering of the Jewish people after being scattered throughout the nations of the world for nearly 2,000 years, the regathering of them back into their ancient homeland, God said in His Word, would serve as a super sign that will set the stage for the prophesied series of events that will culminate in the return of Jesus Christ to Israel. And the fact we're seeing that restoration today must then mean Yeshua's coming is soon. That's exciting, folks. If you're still asleep during this course of teaching after you've just heard that, I'm afraid there's really no hope for you to get excited about the things of God. Without the reconstitution of the nation of Israel in our generation, none of the events of end-time prophecy could occur or be possible. Thomas Ice and Timothy Demme articulate and underscore this point well when they write, God's plan for history always moves forward in relation to what He is doing with Israel. Thus, the fact that Israel has been and continues to be reconstituted as a nation is prophetically significant. So significant that it makes Israel God's super sign of the end times. Were Israel not a nation again, it would be impossible for events of the end times to occur, since so many of them take place in that tiny country or in reference to it. But it has returned, and so it is that all other aspects of Bible prophecy are also being prepared for the grand finale of history. And so, my friends, Israel has been regathered as a sign by God to the world that He is soon going to send His Son back to the world to redeem Israel, to subjugate the Gentile nations, and establish His kingdom of righteousness and justice over all the earth that will blissfully last for 1,000 years. That is our hope, beloved. It is the hope of Messiah. It is the hope of Israel that the Messiah come, and it is the hope of the church that Messiah return. Well, I see that my time is up again, and we will be back next week, and the announcer will tell you at the end of this program how you can get in touch with us. We have a free bi-monthly newsletter called Search the Scriptures that you can sign up for. We also have other reading materials on Jewish evangelism, and other topics related to Bible prophecy that we make available to us. Please think about supporting us. All gifts and donations are tax deductible. Radio airtime is not free. And so please pray about supporting our radio ministry and also supporting our teaching ministry and our gospel outreach ministry to Israel that we conduct every year. Well, God bless you. And until next time, Shalom Aleichem Yeshua HaMashiach. May the peace of Jesus the Messiah be with you.